We're in a message series called Kinda Different, because as believers, we are called to be different. You think about it. We've been redeemed by grace. We've been marked by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are rooted and directed by the living and abiding Word of God. And so we're called to be unique, to be different as we walk with the Lord. We have different values. We have different morals, different belief system. You'll be a different kind of mom, different kind of dad, different kind of husband, different kind of wife. You'll be different the way you raise your children, different the way you relate to people, different in the way you respond to personal hurt and offenses. You'll be different the way you invest your money, different the way you spend your time. And the title of today's message, A Different View of Trouble. As believers, we have a unique and a different mindset towards adversity, difficulty, and trouble. Not that we like it, not that we want it. If you can avoid it without compromising your faith, great. However, as you'll hear in just a moment, it's inevitable that some trouble, it will find you. Now, you know, a few months ago, we had the Super Bowl. Some of you love the Super Bowl. I think the highlight of this past Super Bowl was actually a Toyota commercial featuring the Paralympic swimmer, Jessica Long. Now, she's won 13 gold medals in the Paralympics. She was born in Siberia, born with a condition where she did not have fibulas, didn't have ankles, heels, very few bones in her feet, and she was raised in an orphanage. She was adopted when she was about 13 months old, her adoptive parents, by the name Steve and Beth Long, out of Baltimore, Maryland, they were told her lower legs will have to be amputated at some point. And yet, that condition and that difficulty certainly did not and has not defined Jessica Long. It certainly didn't define her parents, Steve and Beth. One of the things this commercial will, well, let me just show you the commercial first. You ready? Here it is. It's a car commercial, but it features Jessica Long.
Mrs. Long?
Yes?
We've found a baby girl for your adoption, but there are some things you need to know. She's in Siberia, and she was born with a rare condition. Her legs will need to be amputated. I know this is difficult to hear. Her life, it won't be easy. Mrs. Long?
It might not be easy, but it'll be amazing. I can't wait to meet her.
We believe there is hope and strength in all of us. Toyota, proud partner of Team USA.
Jessica Long is an impressive person. Her parents are impressive people. They homeschool their children. They have both biological children and adoptive children. They are very, very strong Christians. And Jessica says that her faith is front and center in her life. Now, the commercial doesn't go into this. She says, it's my faith in the Lord that gives me all of my strength, and I actually believe my story is part of God's plan, and it's my faith in Him that helps me remain sane in the midst of everything. I'm not saying trouble's fun. I'm not saying it's good on its own. I believe God can work good out of it. And as believers, we have sort of a different view of trouble. It's not just an interruption. Now, everybody in this room, you're either in the midst of some difficulty right now. or you're about to be, or you're coming out of it. Life is just difficult. It is. Sometimes the difficulty needle, sometimes the adversity needle, it's just in the yellow zone. But sometimes it goes all the way over to the red zone, and some of you might be in a season like that right now. I have two simple points today. Here's the first one. Trouble, it's both inevitable, but it is purposeful. It is purposeful. Reading from the book of James, chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that's a kind of different mindset right there. Consider it pure joy. In other words, consider that even in the midst of whatever trial or difficulty this might be, they are multifaceted. It might be financial, it might be relational, it might be something you brought on yourself, it might be something because you live in a fallen world. Whatever the shape of that difficulty, God can be with you in the middle of it. Therefore, you know you're not alone, and God can have a purpose here. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, listen, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance do its thing. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God says, in the middle of this trouble and difficulty, I can be with you and help you mature. There are various types of immature faith. There's a kind of faith that you would simply call inherited faith. This is the kind of person who says, yeah, I go to church because my mom and dad go to the same church, or they check with me. Now, once they pass on to their great reward, I'm not sure I'll be around anymore. Because my faith, it's an inherited faith. It's not really mine, it just belongs to my parents. Now, there's a difference between the kind of faith that you've inherited and now it's yours, and the kind of faith that's just sort of a dead inherited faith. There's another kind of immature faith. It's just a shallow faith. Jesus talked about this. At the first sign of difficulty, this person bails. There's another kind of immature faith. It's conditional faith. This is the person who says, I love the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I love my wonderful house. I love my beautiful new car. And as long as things are new and shiny and smooth, I love the Lord. It's a as long as kind of faith. I just want God to be my cosmic bodyguard and my cosmic genie. Well, trouble, it's inevitable. It's coming to you. But with the Lord, there can be purposes in you, through you, and to others. Now, why do all these troubles come? You know, what's their source? This is not an exhaustive list, but let me just put some possibilities up here for you. Sometimes we hurt because of empathy, empathetic reasons, empathic reasons. You may not be wounded. You may not be hurt. No one hit you with a rock, but you care about someone who is. And you hurt because someone you care about is hurting. Secondly, there's undeserved hurt. And this is where, you know, Cain and Abel. What did Abel do? Nothing. He was innocent. What happened? His brother attacks him. And some of you know undeserved hurt. I mean, you read the news this past week. You know, a 17-year-old kid's riding home with his family from the Astros game, and somebody gets mad on a highway, pulls out a gun. I mean, this is absurd. What did he do? And you live in a fallen world. That's where we are. This is not the world God created. Now the world's been tainted by sin and fallenness. That means you deal with hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, tornadoes, floods, natural disaster, COVID-19. And then there's self-inflicted hurt. I don't know who said this, but someone has said that if you could kick in the pants the person most responsible for most of your pain, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. In other words, how many of us have been our own worst enemy and brought a lot of pain and grief upon ourselves? You know, what does the Bible say? Sometimes you reap what you sow. It's self-inflicted. And then there's disciplinary hurt and pain. This is where God is getting our attention about something. Hebrews chapter 12 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. And for what children, and what children are not disciplined by their father? Now, verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it feels painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. And he says, just any kind of hardship that comes along, endure it as discipline. And then there's missional pain, missional frustration. This is where, you know, like in the commercial we saw earlier, and Jessica Long's adoptive mom, in that telephone conversation, her life will not be easy. No, it won't be easy. It'll be amazing, but it won't be easy. But we will intentionally and deliberately step into this. And my friends, followers of Jesus Christ from the earliest days have said what? It's an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. It's an honor and a privilege. And since Jesus is who he says he is, that means I'm an heir of an eternal kingdom. And since Jesus rose from the dead, I will too. For me to live is Christ, and even to die is gain. And believers from the earliest days have said, I would rather suffer for Christ than be comfortable and cowardly. Sometimes we hurt missionally. We're living on purpose. And someone, they may make fun of you, they may ostracize, whatever it is. But it's intentional and missional. And then last of all, there's mysterious suffering, mysterious hurt. We just don't know. Trouble is complicated. Sometimes it's all my fault. I brought it on me. Sometimes it's partly my fault. Sometimes it's not my fault at all. Now, gang, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you should go out seeking trouble. If there's a way to avoid trouble, without rejecting Jesus and without compromising your faith, then by all means avoid trouble. Trouble will find you. You don't need to go seeking it out. You don't need to feel like you need to go all Happy Gilmore and get out there and stand in front of a pitching machine taking fastballs into the chest just to try to toughen yourself up. If you can avoid it, do so. But it's coming. It's inevitable. But it's not purposeless. God is there and will walk with you through it. Will do something in you and will do something through you. And here's my second point. Trouble is an opportunity for grace to shine through you. Dallas Willard defines grace as follows. Grace is God acting in our lives to bring about what we do not deserve and cannot accomplish on our own. And when we've been knocked to our knees, when there's some difficulty, some trouble, it's an opportunity for God's grace to shine through us. Now, the classic passage on this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. And the Apostle Paul says this, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. What was his thorn in the flesh? No one knows for sure. I know this. Paul thought, God, if you would take this away, it would make perfect sense. I would be so much more effective for you if I didn't have to deal with this, but it's there. Was it a memory of something? Was it a physical ailment? I don't know. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul was faced to look at his point of weakness every day, think about it regularly, so that he might lean upon the Lord even more. Verse 10, and that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. When we go through trouble, we often want to ask why. It's natural. I'm not sure it's a particularly productive question. Here are some questions that I do think are fairly productive. First of all, how? How can I grow in Christ through this? God doesn't always provide a why. He will provide wisdom. How can I grow through this? Because being in a season of difficulty or trouble, what does it do? It alerts us. It awakens our sensibilities to a bigger picture. Have you ever heard someone say, God will never give you more than you can handle? That's not true. That's actually a twisting of a verse of Scripture that does say God will never allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. But there are times you have a load on your shoulders that is beyond your strength. And it's there to teach you to depend on Him, because when you're hurting, when you're confused, what do? You draw close to Him. When you're desperate, what do? You run to Him. In your weakness, His strength gets a chance to show. And when you're knocked down and all you can do is look up, that's actually a good thing. How can I grow in this? Secondly, what can I learn? Because you're in a one day at a time mindset here. What can I learn here? Thirdly, what does this make possible? You know, life is full of transitions. It's full of changes and transitions. Some of them are intentional and welcomed. Sometimes they're just put upon you. But when you go through a change or a transition, and it might be challenging, you say, what now does this make possible? And here's a fourth question. Who now can I uniquely serve? I know how you feel. I've been in your shoes. Those phrases can only be said to someone if you've walked a similar journey. And there are people to whom you can uniquely say, I know this. I've walked in these shoes. Some of your most significant ministry and service opportunities will flow out of some of your most painful experiences, even some of your failures. You say, but Ronnie, I failed in that moment. Yes, and out of that, then you've run to the grace of God, and you can take that grace and minister and serve another person. Let me remind you, there is only one person who's ever always gotten it right. Only one. And sometimes out of your even failure, out of your pain, out of your experiences, will flow some beautiful, beautiful ministry. Why? It's not always a productive question. How can I grow from this? What can I learn from this? What now does this make possible? And who now might I uniquely be postured and positioned to serve? I know a lot of you, you're familiar with Nick Vujicic, who is a fabulous speaker and presence. He's an Australian-American, born without limbs, born without arms or legs. He's a motivational speaker. He's a business leader. He is a very powerful Christian evangelist. He knows what it's like to walk through a season of awkwardness and trouble. And so as I tie a bow on our thoughts today, I want you to listen to Nick.
God will use the foolish things to confound the wise. God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, to prove that it's not about Nick. It's not about his ability. It's not about him and his strength and how he speaks all around the world and uses his hands greatly as gestures and body language while he gets excited preaching. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. I didn't write my story. Jesus wrote my story. He knew me before the earth began. And I don't know about you, but yeah, it's good to have a job. It's good to have a relationship and get married and have kids. It's good to have that stuff. But until you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will be always something missing. You can't rely on you because you will fail you every single time, just about. I needed him, not just because of this, but for my heart, for my mind. By the grace of God, he kept me here on earth, even though I tried to commit suicide at age 10. The bullying at my school convinced me that I was a mistake, that I'd never eventuate to anything. Man, what a lie. When you realize it's just the devil, I say just the devil because the devil's nothing compared to Jesus. I was listening to the encouragement my parents were saying, but then listening to the lies at the same time, the lies saying, you're not good enough, Nick, just give up. No, I am wonderfully and fearfully made according to Psalm 139. Oh, Nick, you should just give up. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At age 10, I didn't believe the truth because I wasn't running the race. I wasn't in the right race. The race where it's not just getting things in your life and doing things and having things. What happens after you get married? You think you're the happiest person alive. You need to talk to some married people first. Amen? All right, so then after you get married, and I love my wife, trust me. But if you're not happy single in Jesus, then you're not going to be happy married. Amen? It's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's not anything about that. It's all about Jesus. It's not about what you have or what you don't have or what you wish you had or what you wish you didn't have. It's all about Jesus, that no matter where you are in your life right now, if you ask God to forgive you of your sin and you repent of your sin, God will come into your life, forgive you of your sin. You'll receive his life, his blessings, his life eternal, and his life's plan for your life. Not my plan. I don't want my plan. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves and actually realize that sometimes God actually has a better plan. I suggest a plan to God and he doesn't say anything sometimes. But we got to understand that God's ways are higher than ours and thoughts are higher than ours. And I showed that video for the summary of my testimony. And I want you to know in your life, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. If I have Jesus, I have everything I need. Now, does that mean I don't have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case he says yes to me? No, I do have a pair, okay? Just in case, okay? I want to be ready. But what we need healing first is in the inside and to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God, when you hear a phone ring, you pick it up. okay? When you're sometimes dialing into heaven and it feels like He's not picking up, don't hang up on God. He's listening. I hung up on God because I didn't understand His plan. God said through my parents, Nick, God's got a plan for your life. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I have a whole plan in the future. I'm like, no way. There's no race like that. There's no heaven. There's no God. Look at all the pain in the world. If God loved the world, then why is He letting so much pain happen? Later on, you realize in the Bible, God doesn't give us pain, but whatever the enemy tried to use for bad, God turned into good. I can't do anything with my broken pieces, but there's nothing that God cannot do. I've seen pain. I've seen miracles. God allows things that we don't understand, but I want you to know if you hold on to Him, He'll hold on to you. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, even when you cannot walk, He'll carry you. When you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle. I don't need what the world can give me. I want what Jesus wants to give me. What do you think I'd rather want? One more person to live forever or have a little bit more money? What do you take with you? Nothing. Nothing. Not your garden, not your car, not your nothing. Just you, your soul. And the encouragement you've planted all around you, hopefully souls to come with you. I can only imagine. Now, don't handcuff me because of my doctrine, but I just like this illustration. Imagine God sees me and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome home. And then He sort of looks over my shoulder and says, who'd you bring? Amen? I want to run that race, the race that matters, the race that counts. And I'd rather be paralyzed in the arms of Jesus in that race than be the first prize winner and runner in any other race.
Only Jesus, only the resources, the promises, the goodness, the grace of Jesus makes it possible for us as Christians to have such a different view of even trouble. Not that we like it, not that we want it, but we know that even though it's inevitable, that as we walk with the Lord in it, we may not get the miracle, but we can be that miracle. And it's an opportunity for the grace of God to shine in us and through us. My friends, let me remind you, the good news of the gospel is not that we are always delivered from our trials. The good news of the gospel is not that we're delivered from every crazy coworker we might have or from migraines or difficulties. The good news of the gospel is that we are redeemed from our sins. Our souls are forgiven. We have an eternal destination. And even in the midst of whatever difficulty we find, the Lord is with us and walks with us through it. Tim, would you be making your way up here, please, as Tim Smith comes to lead us in prayer? You know, virtually all of you, you're familiar with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. Well, sometimes when it comes to difficulties, we can pray, Lord, help me to endure the suffering that I cannot fix. And by your Spirit, help me to change the suffering that I can fix. And grant me the wisdom to know the difference.